This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
And welcome to a special podcast on PMS investing as well as AIF powered by Money Control. Well, I'm here with Manish Jain, who is a fund manager with Ambit Coffee Can PMS. This is on the sidelines of the event organized by PMS Bazaar in Mumbai. Well, thanks a lot, Manish, for tuning into this podcast.
Thank you so much and thanks for having me here.
Well, Manish, well, to start with, I would like to know how the journey it has been for you as well as for the industry, and how's the environment shaping up for PMS schemes over a period of time?
So, if you look at Ambit AMC, in the field of PMS, we are relatively small right now with about 600 crores worth of AUM, give or take a few crores here and there. And to be very honestly speaking, even though we have products which are about four and a half years old, we have really been seriously in this game for about 2 years or so now, out of which 1 year has been fairly well documented turbulent for us, right? So, it's only been since about December, January this year that we've started looking at the game very seriously. But safe to say that it has been fairly exciting last couple of years, fairly eventful, and to be very honest, I've been very surprised with the kind of interest in general that people have in PMS products, and that has been a massive surprise for me, because I was always under the impression that it is mutual funds which tend to pull people more, or direct equities, and I never really thought of people as true blue-blooded long-term investors, which is what we try and do, right? But the kind of interest that family offices, corporate treasuries, ultra HNIs and HNIs have shown in PMS products make me really, really hopeful about the future of this industry, that currently we are at a size of about 150,000 crores or thereabout. We have a long way to go. We'll probably, in the next 5 years, wouldn't be surprised if we are as big as the mutual fund industry is today. So I think this is a way to go forward. Very excited.
Well, that sounds great. Probably the next mutual fund or next big business. Well, Manish, before we go ahead and ask you about this, definitely it's going to be the next big shift, as you already, spoken to us and talked in your conversation. What exactly are the parameters, or what exactly are the factors that will take this industry to probably the next level?
I think one is that PMS for an ultra HNI or an HNI is a great product, because, you can very safely do chunky investments. The portfolios are more customized. You have an options of doing DPMS or an NDPMS, which basically means you have a better control over your investments. And typically, when compared to other investment avenues, the accessibility within the AMC is actually much higher, right? So there are avenues to address any kind of situation as in when it arises. And I think when you look at a combination of whole, then between the three ways of investing in direct in equities, which is directly doing it yourself, between a mutual fund and PMS, for the right target audience, which is ultra HNIs, HNIs, family offices and corporate treasuries, PMS is always going to be the best suited product.
Perfect. And now, shifting slightly towards the overall markets, what exactly is the outlook on market, given the fact that both micro as well as macro indicators are not that supportive? In fact, they're not even showing any signs of improvement. So what is your outlook on markets at this point in time?
No, absolutely correct that, GDP growth rate has kind of hit 5% as compared to 8% a year ago. We are trying to boost up the growth, but in turn, we are kind of sacrificing our fiscal prudence policy. The global macro is not really supportive. The yield curves are inversing pretty much across the world. So, yeah, I mean, when you're talking about the overall, macroeconomic environment not really being suitable or conducive to investment, I completely agree with you. But I look at it in two different ways. One is this study that we had done, and we had published a paper on this a little while back, is that if you would have invested in the last 20 years, whenever the GDP growth rate, nominal GDP growth rate, lowest point, right? And if you have stayed invested for 3 years, the return that you would have made would have been close to 21% on a compounded basis, as compared to when you would have invested at the peak of the cycle. As far as nominal GDP growth rate is concerned, you would have made 6%. So there is this inherent belief that we in AMC have, is that the best stocks are best picked in the worst of the times. See, as long as you have no issues on corporate governance, as long as you have no issues on management quality, and the growth outlook from a top-down perspective continues to remain exciting, it's actually the best time to invest in equities, right? And second is, for the first time, what I'm excited about is that not only is this government cognizant about revival of the economy, but they're taking some concrete measures to do it, right? So there's a corporate tax rate cut which has happened. Now we've gone from, amongst the emerging markets, being one of the most uncompetitive you know, countries to probably amongst one of the most competitive countries as far as a corporate tax rate is concerned. And now we are talking about import substitution under the RECP, right? Now, if you combine all of these along with demonetization, along with, you know, the bankruptcy code and GST implementation, you realize that these are string of events which have been made in the last 2 years to formalize the economy, to kickstart the manufacturing growth rate. So from a 3 to 5 year perspective, I think we have definitely bottomed out over here, and I would be a buyer at these levels for sure.
I think that sounds great, and what a good advice coming from you, Manish. Now, I think the next question which probably everybody would want to know is how different is PMS? You know, I'm also investor in a mutual fund, but yes, I would like to know how different is PMS from, let's say, a regular mutual fund?
I think they're basically, ultimately the objective is same, right? Which is to encourage investments in equities. But I think the class of investor that each of these product targets is slightly different in my mind, at least the way I look at it. Mutual fund is a great product for anybody who's looking to do SIPs, right? So it's a great way to save money in a lump sum manner by doing very, very small ticket investments across the board. And you can then de-risk yourself by spreading out these EMIs, you know, or SIPs across different funds. And it is best suited for a retail investor, right? And that is a target audience typically for a mutual fund. While PMS, on the other hand, gives you better control. There is better transparency. The DP is in your name. The stocks are in your DP account. You know exactly which, you know, 12, 18 stocks have been bought for you. How much return are you making on an individual stock basis? And you have better accessibility, right? Better control, better accessibility makes PMS a very well-suited product for an HNI or an ultra HNI investor who's looking to put in a lump sum money. So it's essentially the target audience which is different, but the end game being the same.
Right. Nicely put, Manish, on that. And well, I would also like to know that, yes, you know, you also emphasize that government has been cognizant of the fact that, you know, yes, there is slowdown, and they are taking those measures to, in fact, you know, balance out the growth rate. So according to you, do you think the government has done enough to really push the growth rate back into the massive explosive territory, maybe around what double digit, you know, growth rate that we talked about maybe probably 2 or 3 years back. So, or according to you, what are the other measures which government could take, in fact, to revive growth in Asia's third largest economy?
See, one thing I think which people need to first accept and be aware of is that this is one government that thinks a little differently, right? Each problem that they try and resolve is essentially something that they are trying to resolve from a long-term perspective. So every measure is going to be long-drawn, it's going to be long-term, where you're basically trying to solve the problem right from the root for a very, very permanent state, which is point number one. And point number two is that this is a government which has never shied away from taking decisions which seem unpopular, right? Which is second. And third is that they have their agendas which are set, right? So if you look at it, I think the biggest agenda that they have on their hands right now is bringing down the inequality in income distribution, alleviating the standard of living amongst the masses or the poorest of the class of people, and then everything else follows in a secondary manner. And the fourth and the most important point being that measures which might be seen in isolation seem innocuous are actually all interconnected to each other, leading to a larger role, right? So first we did demonetization, we followed it up with GST was followed up with the e-way bill. In between somewhere you had the bankruptcy code, and then you also had the Make in India program. Today you are, you know, trying to do import substitution under RECP, which basically is all targeted towards reviving the manufacturing growth in India on a permanent basis. Now the fact is, people who are talking about unemployment, people who are talking about manufacturing sector growth not being there. For the fact of the matter is that if you look at the data in the last 20 years, we've never really been known for our manufacturing, industry setup. We've never been an export-oriented economy. Most of the high-ticket items, high-value items are anyways being imported, assembled in India, or maybe assembled out somewhere else and completely, assembled format being imported into India. Now, what we are trying to do is to formalize the economy, which is obviously going to be a reset process, which is going to lead to a certain bit of a short-term pain. But I think we are getting there, right? So all the ingredients are in place. It's all about now perseverance. It's all about continuing to do the things that you're doing. And I'm very hopeful that sooner rather than later, you will see the impact of this coming through. So from a 3-year perspective, I'm very bullish on the economic growth as well as on the market growth in India.
Perfect. Bullish for the next 3 years. That sounds great, Manish. And I think the last question which I want to put across is there is some news doing the rounds, especially in media, is that you know, SEBI could probably increase the investment limit from 25 lakhs to, let's say, 50 lakhs. What are your views on that, and will it really impact the PMS industry per se?
In the near term to short term, probably yes, because people typically like to de-risk themselves. So typically when you'll see, you know, one investor not putting whole of his money in one single PMS, right? So they'll typically try to choose two, three, four different schemes and try to spread it out like that. So it's obviously going to make their game a little more difficult. But then we have seen people transit from 5 lakhs to 10 lakhs, 10 lakhs to 25 lakhs in a very smooth manner. So eventually over a long term, I think it's a great decision to take. If AIFs can have a minimum, you know, investment ticket size of 1 crore, why can't a PMS do 50 lakhs is something that I never understood. And given that it is a product which is primarily targeted towards HNIs, ultra HNIs, corporate treasuries and family offices, I think ultimately over a medium to long term, I think there should be not too much of an impact, and we should be able to transit out smoothly. So I'm optimistic.
And now a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers curated market data, independent equity analysis, exclusive trading recommendations, and actionable investment ideas to subscribers. In the Great Diwali discount offer, you can get access to Money Control Pro for as little as Rs. 289 for a year. Use code Diwali. The offer is valid on the web and Android devices. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app.
Thank you, Manish, for your time, and thanks a lot for listeners for tuning into this podcast. Well, stay tuned to moneycontrol.com for more views, news, and analysis.